Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the RU1 Rahapa podcast for the reunion. I am Brian Cohen. Here with me is my co-host, Allie Lesher. Allie, how are we doing tonight?
I'm sad. I feel like I should have some sad music queued up, but I don't, because I just realized how sad I am.
It's over.
The journey's over. It was a great reunion. I know we were both worried that it was going to be overhyped. I'm satisfied with what got cleared up here.
Yeah, I think there was a lot of resolutions to a lot of stuff. I thought they touched on some things I didn't really expect them to touch on as much as they did. I thought they paid the Brandon and Christina stuff well, the Pratt and Paris stuff well. So yeah, I think they, for a reunion, I think they covered it pretty well.
I'm going to put this out there. I thought Ryan was awesome.
I thought he was okay. I thought some of the questions he asked weren't even just like questions. They were more like statements, and then they just cut to the people talking. And I thought he worded some questions really. I mean, I don't know. That might not be on him, but I thought he was just okay.
I thought he got right to the meat. I didn't think there were many fluff questions. I think especially like his rapid fire in the beginning, it was like the pointed questions, at least what they decided to show. And I thought he followed up well. Like if somebody gave like an answer, like I could see some of the girls from Girl Code just being like, okay, next question. Mm-hmm. Like I thought he was good at probing. I thought he seemed relaxed. I thought he seemed more normal. Like I didn't even remember that I hated him until like halfway through. And I was like, oh my God, he's doing great.
I mean, I was definitely glad that he was the host because at least he had a sense of what was going on in the house. So yeah, he knew what questions to follow up with as opposed to Nicole and her roommate or something like that. So I'm glad they did that. But I mean, I wasn't like blown away. I didn't think he took anything away from it. I thought he was kind of just the way he is on the show. Like he's just there to facilitate stuff and he's fine.
Maybe I just wasn't distracted by him naming anything. But all right, we'll disagree on Ryan.
At least he wasn't wearing a scarf.
So. Well, okay. Was it freezing in the studio? Because if they weren't wearing scarves, they were wearing sweatshirts.
I'll say this. I've actually been to a couple of like these reunions. Not the ones in LA. Obviously, like for the Real World and Challenge, usually they're in New York. So I've gone to a couple of them. And it is usually freezing in the studio. Like they blast the AC to keep it cool.
I don't know, maybe because
like
the
lights and stuff. So yeah, so I can understand it.
If the girls can do it, the guys can do it. And I just want to say also that I've been in a taping of the Steve Harvey show and it was cold. But after the lights are on you for like 45 minutes, I felt like I was going to pass out. Like it gets hot too when you're under like complete camera lighting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, but, I agree.
Haley Strong pointed out on Twitter, what is this, Andy season of The Bachelorette, which you totally don't get. And I'm just going to plant that as an Easter egg.
Yeah, she tweeted it to me. I'm like, I have no idea what this means. I don't know what to do with it.
I thought the exact same thing. So
I think I just favored it as like my way of like a read response.
Don't be like everyone on Are You the One and just favorite everything you read. Your favorites have to mean something.
I know. Usually I stick to like favoriting something that means I like it. Like it's my equivalent of hitting the like button on Facebook if I favorite something.
But I don't understand. This is very confusing. I feel like you're lying because you said you just
favorited. Well, for
that one,
I felt like it was like a directed tweet at me. I felt really bad at just like ignoring it. So I'm like, I'm sure this was funny to people who watched The Bachelor, or Bachelorette.
Speaking of things that are funny, Alex's appearance. We got a question on Facebook from Gina Marie Palmieri Markic. Did anyone recognize the girl, Alex, who showed up at the reunion? She seemed like a totally different person than the one who was in the house, although I didn't care that much for either version of her. She was unrecognizable.
Just like what she looked like?
Yeah, like her. I mean, I guess you're the one who told me she had her boobs done.
I did.
Didn't you tell me that they were watching? That's like all that was happening.
That was like an extended scene on MTV that she had her boobs on.
Brian told me promptly forgot that she had her boobs on. But she also was wearing a lot of makeup and her lips looked a little different. I'm not even saying that they were injected. I'm just saying her whole appearance like was totally dark and different than like she was wearing these like big lace-up boots and plunging neckline.
That's probably her style on her camp show. She has to keep up with her appearance.
Well, that's fine, but and I also think like when you're on a TV show, like eventually you stop caring about your makeup. Like it's easier to just like put a ponytail. And she was like a naturally beautiful girl, so it was just kind of jarring to see her so done. But yeah,
did you see if Pratt and Pratt and like John, two people who seemed like they were wearing the same sweater?
Yeah, it was someone in the back row on the right, but I forget who that was.
Maybe it was Alex. I don't remember. I know Pratt.
No, it wasn't Alex or John. It was who's in the upper right. I could picture it.
I wrote it in my notes somewhere.
No, it was Pratt, and I can't remember who was in the upper right. But yeah, they were both wearing sweatshirts. I don't know.
Because it looked exactly. Oh, Garland.
Outfits by.
Found it in my notes.
Gap, I don't know. But one thing that's like I'm finding extremely offensive is the crop top with the long necklace. And this doesn't need to be a fashion podcast. And I brought this up in Shelby's cast photo. But Christina was wearing this like cute little crop top and then this long necklace. I don't like it. I find it offensive.
I agree. I think it's very offensive.
Okay. That's all I have on the appearances of the people. Everyone else looked great.
I thought Shelby looked really good. She looked straight out of like Mad Men. I got like a Betty Draper vibe.
So. That's the second person that you said looks like should be on Mad Men. You said that about Christina in our preview podcast, which we'll go back to because I took a listen.
Time is a flat circle.
I thought she looked like Elsa from Frozen.
Who? Shelby?
Is that the one who's the ice queen is Elsa?
Elsa's the ice queen, yeah.
Yeah, thanks for backing me up on that.
She was so
sparkly, blue, blonde hair. She looked like Elsa, but I wasn't going to bring that up until you...
We're not, there you go. Hey, we spent the whole preview cover, I think, on people's appearances. We might as well spend the reunion doing it, too.
Oh, it's fresh on our minds. And this is when they come correct on the reunion. I mean, I get anxiety when I see the reunion because I do. This is so lame. But I think about, like...
What you would wear?
No, but just the agonizing decision of what to wear. Like, these people are trying to bring out their best. Like, they all got new dresses. They all got their hair done, makeup done, like... At least the girls, like, it's like what dress, like, not only are you trying to look good on TV, your last possible appearance on TV, but you're also trying to, like, get revenge on everyone else by how good you look and all the guys that wronged you.
Are you proud of Leighton for wearing an actual shirt?
I thought it was so bizarre that after all the suit jacketing, all the suiting he wears, like, he showed up in a t-shirt for the finale. I thought Anthony was one of the best looking guys, like, just classic. Blazer button down.
Good job, Anthony. And speaking of Anthony, that's where actually the reunion started off. Look at that transition. I'm a key. So he was supposedly the mastermind. Everyone followed his lead. He woke up in the middle of the night and he solved the whole thing, apparently.
My question is, was Brianna overplayed during the season or underplayed during the reunion?
It seemed like Brianna was the one pushing. Now this may not be good for her because it seemed like she was the one pushing the strategy in like the beginning and middle, and that's kind of when they sucked, and then Anthony kind of figured it out at the end.
I don't know, they made it seem, when he said like who is the mastermind, like they made it seem like it was all Anthony, and even Curtis was like, you know, in Anthony we trust. Either was he a part of conversation when he was in the honeymoon suite, or was Anthony actually the strategist the whole time?
I don't think he was definitely not the strategist the whole time. Because I remember, even as late as like in episode 6 or 7, he was like, no one knows anything. We're just going to pick who we like. I really think he just kind of just had like a dream and just like figured it out like week 8. And I was I got it.
I think what you're meaning is Anthony said like pick your 3 best options. Mm-hmm. Or your three thoughts.
I think so.
I don't know. I just thought the way they framed it at the reunion, unless it's just like recency biased and because he was like there this last 2 episodes. But I kind of thought they were telling like a different story at the reunion than they were during the show.
Yeah, I mean, this was really the only time they ever discussed any type of strategy, I think, throughout the entire reunion. Everything else is just based purely on like where people stand and reminiscing like old drama. So this was really the only sense of strategy I think we got pretty much the whole reunion.
Which is like fair enough. I mean, they won. How much does the strategy even matter at this point? But right. I just thought like the whole narrative of the show was like Brianna was the only sane one in the house. And then Anthony joined. And then they're like, who is the mastermind? And everyone, including Brianna, is like, Anthony. So.
Well, good job, Anthony. I mean, we saw that coming the last 2 weeks, too. We were very impressed with what he was doing.
And then one thing I thought was interesting, so when they go to Christina and they ask, like, oh, would she want to be the 11th girl again? And she's saying she has no regrets. What's amazing is none of what she says has anything to do with like how the 11th girl affected her love life or her time with the guys. It's all about like the girls hated me, but now Brianna's my best friend. Like it was all like it worked out because I met the Goon Squad.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know they're doing some, I don't know why they're doing like that extended reunion tonight. And before we went live, they did have a little extra scene about. Probably no one's even watching the extended reunion. I don't think they even like promoted it at all. No one probably knows. So they had like a scene of, I think they asked John, like, how did the 11th girl kind of change the strategy for all of you? And he said, basically, we tried throwing her into the truth booth all the time early just to try to get her or someone else out. So that's all we got out of that little extra scene.
Yeah, I mean, I just thought that Christina's reflection was like, I thought it would have been more about like, you know, I had to make so many connections with so many guys. It was so frustrating, da da da. And I thought I was going to go home. But it was like her main reflection was like, the girls didn't like me, but then they did. So everything worked out.
Yeah, would have loved to have seen something like, you know, if you were just a regular person in the house and you and Brandon weren't together, how much would you really try to form other connections? Because like she's saying, she was playing for her space in the house. So, but if she was just a regular person, maybe she wouldn't have tried as hard to form connections with John and Nate and then even Leighton at the end.
Yeah, no, I agree. That would have been interesting. I know she's tweeted about like that something that like implied that she would have been different. So that would have been interesting to hear about. But
yeah, then we get to touch on the Leighton move from the finale. And this is kind of where I had a problem with Ryan, just the way he phrased the question. Because again, it just annoys me. Like this, he said like, "Oh, Leighton, like you play with like a lot of balls. You show a lot of guts doing that." And again, it's like, no, this isn't gut. This doesn't take guts. It's just being stupid. And I didn't like that they kind of just let Leighton slide like that.
Oh, see, I don't have a problem with this because, I mean, it was a ballsy move. It was a stupid move, but it was a ballsy move. And I thought it was great because everyone in the crowd, like the rest of the cast, immediately cut off Leighton from being a complete douchebag and hijacked him. I mean, he didn't really get to answer because Curtis and Paris like took away his speaking time. And I liked sometimes in the reunions, they'll be like, let him speak. Shh, let him speak. And I liked that it was just like, nope, you said one stupid thing and everybody else hijacked your talking time.
I don't know, I just would have loved to see someone just say like, Leighton, do you realize that we won the game without this move? Like all this did was make it harder to win. Like we already had the game won. Like I just wanted to hear
someone. I feel like
someone,
they did say that.
They were kind of just more like, oh, you took, like, why'd you take such a big risk? Like, for me, like, again, like, this doesn't fall to me in, like, the risk category, because a risk implies that you can gain something else if you don't do it. Like, well, all this does is make it the same result.
Well, I think he could gain a relationship with Christina. He could gain sex from Christina. He could gain MTV fame. He could gain a spot on the challenge. Like, I thought it was clear what he had to gain by doing that. I mean, he continues the villain role. It was so stupid. I completely agree. But I think he would have even wanted to do it even if it cost him the million, because he had more to gain than the $35,000 from doing it, or in his mind, potentially. I also think Curtis definitely said, like, but what happens when you lose? Like, you swung for the fence and you get out. Like, and then Ryan says, like, what would have happened if they lost? And Curtis was like, we all would have beaten the shit out of him.
I would have loved to see that.
You know, so like I thought they did kind of cover everyone being sick of Leighton, everyone being pissed at Leighton, and Leighton getting really lucky and not being able to talk about it because everyone tells him he's such a douchebag.
I'm curious, it's kind of like sidetrack, but how do you think this reunion would go if they didn't win? Do you think it would have changed all like the perception of like all the questions of like the perfect matches? Like, how do you think it would have changed if they actually lost?
I think all of the relationship questions wouldn't have been affected. I think they would have spent less time on Anthony being the mastermind and more time on Leighton being a complete douchebag. Like, there would have been a huge thing about Leighton.
Yeah.
I agree. So I'm kind of happy that they won because I didn't have to really hear from Leighton.
That's true. And then we get the first relationship segment of the reunion with Nate and Shelby. And I was surprised a little bit how much time they spent on this part of it, because I kind of just almost forgot about the Nate and Shelby stuff. Like, it felt like so long ago that this would be like the opening relationship segment.
Well, I'm glad that they covered a good range of all of the different couples, because I remember when they brought up like Dario and Ashley and Leighton as like the trio of the issues, I was pissed. I was like, Leighton and Anthony and Jess and Jenny were the problem, not Leighton and Dario. Mm. And so when they ultimately got to that, I was like kind of impressed by like the range of time that they covered. I think showing the clip was like such a reminder about how painful and awkward and horrible this was.
Right.
And like, I mean, Nathan's response, he handled it kind of well, but he was like, I've only had three girlfriends in my whole life. Like, he hasn't lived that long. Like, that's not that bad, depending on how long the relationships were.
I mean, he started at 13, so it's been a while.
Well, I'm assuming he's not counting his, like, preschool girlfriend. Then three girlfriends by what? Is he 22, 23? Like, that's not that bad.
At least we know he can count the three. Like you said before, it's too many to count, so at least we got, like, a minimum number.
But I thought that was stupid. I mean, I think Shelby handles herself throughout this whole time, like really, really well.
Agreed.
And I think the highlights or the most interesting part is the mixed reaction from the rest of the cast. So Jasmine is saying, like, basically it's not a sucks for Shelby moment. She had Dario and Nathan fighting over her, like, Nathan's attractive, like, stop being dramatic. And then Jess is like, I want my man to be a man's man. Don't cry. If you have to let those emotions out, go to the gym. But so, like, who's right here? Like, did you feel like, I think we both kind of felt like Shelby was in a shitty position.
I mean, I can see what Jasmine's saying, that it's not really a shitty position of having to choose between two, like, desirable guys. So it's not really that bad a position. Like,
do you find Nathan desirable?
No, but
do you find Dario desirable?
Dario's a cool guy. I wouldn't mind hanging out with Dario. Nate, I can take a pass on. But, I mean, it's not like when Ellie was, like, friend-zoned a bunch of times. Like, that's, like, a shitty position. This is just, like, in, like would you say, like, when I'm trying to think of a guy who was torn between two girls. Like, when like with Anthony between, like, if Anthony was torn between Jess and Jenny, was that a shitty position for Anthony? Probably not. So it's kind of, like, weird to have it, like, the other way.
I think the difference here is Nathan was, like, kind of preventing her from spending time with Dario. It was like Brandon with Christina. Like, and the difference is that Christina was into Brandon. But when somebody you like, who likes you so much and you don't like, is constantly taking your time and attention by crying and, like, kind of boxing you in. Mm. Granted, I don't know if that was just one night, but it seemed to be multiple times. Or he's still constantly trying to get to know you one-on-one and you're not interested. That is more difficult than just, like, two people you like with Ashley and Dario and Layton. Like, she was kind of leading us to believe that she was considering both of them, and that's a great situation. It's shitty when you have no interest in one of them and it's affecting your relationship or your ability to spend time with the other person.
Yeah, it's me. I just viewed that as a shitty situation for Nate. Like, I don't think it affected Shelby and Dario. Like, if they were a perfect match, I don't think their relationship would have been hurt by the fact that Nate was, like, into her at first and went on a rampage.
No, I'm just purely speaking in terms of, like, the time that she got to spend with him and, right, like, the guilt she may have felt in terms of, like, pairing up for challenges or him being super into her and it being awkward. Like, that's a shitty situation. I mean, it's not the worst situation you could be in for sure, but it's not ideal.
I guess not. Not perfect.
Speaking of not ideal... Brianna, Curtis, and Shelby. We finally sort of get to the bottom of that.
Okay, I watched it and then I rewatched it before this, and I'm still a little confused about what happened in, like, the honeymoon suite. Because did Curtis lie about hooking up with Shelby to Brianna?
Okay. So what I've gathered from this, and I will toot my own horn and say that I saw it on the show that Curtis was being different with Shelby than he was presenting it to Brianna. Mm-hmm. So kudos to me. No, but I think from what I gather from Paris, and that was actually really helpful interjection from Paris and Shelby, is that Curtis in the honeymoon suite was acting flirtatious with her, was acting touchy with her, whatever, innocently enough. And then would, like, completely ignore her when they went to the matchups in front of Brianna and, like, make out with Brianna.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think Brianna, Curtis said to Brianna, like, what Shelby said, like, that she's, like, heavily trying to be with me. She always has to cuddle with me, like, blah, blah, blah. And Curtis is such a snake because when he says, when he gets confronted by Shelby, his first reaction is like, I felt so bad for you and I'm so sorry I couldn't be that for you, but I was already taken. Like, oh, like, no one's sorry. No one feels bad that they didn't have you. Like, you don't need to apologize. The point is that you were a shitty person and it has nothing to do with what you could or could not be for Shelby. But then I think I don't know if it was, like, guilt that brought him to, like, make a false confession to Brianna, but
yeah, that's what I'm, like, so confused by. Like, why would he lie and say that he hooked up with her when he didn't?
Basically, I don't know. I don't know if he wanted to, like, see her reaction to see if he could, like, hook up with Shelby and get away with it. Mm-hmm. Or if he, like, literally thought he did something wrong and thought it would be best to be like, I hooked up with her. Like, I think I hooked up with her. I was so blacked out. And, like, that an admission, even if it wasn't 100% true, would be better than her finding out later. I agree with Brianna. It would have been simpler to just be like, I'm not sure what happened, but I'm going to get to the bottom of it.
Yeah.
But it seems like, I don't know what the order of events were. Like, I don't know if he woke up, had an opportunity to see Brianna and told her right off the bat, and then spoke to Shelby, and then spoke to... Because then he says, I had a conversation with Shelby, and Shelby's like, why are you lying? And he's like, oh, well, I actually talked to Pratt and John about it.
Yeah, of all, like, the relationship segments, this is one that me that felt like the most, like, choppy edited-wise. I feel like they were, like, cutting things from, like, different things and putting it together. Like, I couldn't get a real sense of the story for this one. Maybe that's just me, though.
I mean, I just think it's clear that Curtis was flirting with Shelby, but wasn't doing anything with her. I think it's very obvious that if Shelby wanted something to happen or would have let something happen, Curtis would have. And maybe it was just that guilt that came out as like a false admission to Brianna. But I bet Curtis is kicking himself now that he's not with Brianna, that he wishes he would have just been with Shelby.
Right, I think that's very fair. That if he's like, oh, this wasn't going to work, then I got this hot blonde with me for like 3 weeks and I'm just like doing nothing. So.
Yeah, I mean, I was happy for Shelby and Brianna. They've like, they're clearly friendly on Twitter. Like, they don't have animosity towards each other. I think they're both quote unquote mad at the right person. Like, I don't think that Brianna necessarily seems angry, but like, they're both kind of like looking at it from a relation of their relationship with Curtis and not their relationship with each other, which I think is great. And then one thing is, like, I thought Shelby was kind of, like, beating around the bush at first. I'm happy she, like, really got to it at the end when she was like, I turned you away. I was the one who stuck to my word. I didn't let stuff happen. Like, why are you trying to make it seem like it's the opposite?
Yeah, I thought just in every scenario that she was in, I thought Shelby came across looking very good. She was very articulate, really knew how to, like, explain herself. I even remember saying this, like, when for her time in the house, that she just knows how to, like, carry herself very well. And it came across here, too.
I agree. What I didn't like is the interjection that Jenny made, and Jenny had been growing at me, but when Jenny was like, there are three sides to every story, her story, your story, and the truth. Like, I thought they were getting to the truth, and I thought Brianna and Shelby both kind of had the same story. Like, I thought, like, had they been allowed to talk a little bit more and Curtis just, like, was quiet and Brianna and Shelby conferred, we would have gotten to the truth. Like, I thought Jenny's interjection kind of, like, squashed it, at least with the way the editing showed, and then they went to commercial. And I was like, they were just getting somewhere.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. I do think Bree and Shelby were kind of on the same page. I think Curtis might be getting, like, a bad rap from what happened. I think maybe the perception of what he did isn't good, but maybe the reality in his own mind, what he was doing wasn't really what he meant to be doing. So I'm still giving Curtis a little bit of the benefit of the doubt.
That's like, sounds like a scumbag defense. Like,
well, I'm on
what he was doing, what he was doing wasn't what he meant to do. And that's like what Jenny says to Anthony, as we'll get to later, when she says, like, I didn't mean to do that. Like, but you still did it. Like, you still played Shelby out. Like, if she felt hurt, she seems like a totally rational person who every single time on the show, we saw her being more than understanding to him, saying, like, I totally get it. I totally get it. Like, you're with Brianna. Like, that's fine. I think she was more than respectful. And I think had he pulled a Chris T and been like, I'm sleeping on the couch, I love Brianna, like, we're friends, everything would have been fine. I don't think she's one to, like, say you hurt me when there was he didn't do anything.
To me, this felt like the real shitty situation, like, for everyone involved. Like, no one really knew what to do, and everything someone did was going to step on someone's toes. So I just felt like everyone was just in a lose situation, and that's why I'm giving him a little bit of a pass, but that's just me.
I think he caused the lose situation. Like, I think if he really wanted to be with Brianna, if he was 100% sure, he could have said, he could have done things differently than he did with Shelby. And if he wanted to explore things with Shelby, he could have had the arrangement that Jenny and Anthony had and said, look, I'm gone, you're gone, we're going to do our own thing and sacrifice his relationship with Brianna. What he tried to do is sort of like appease what he thought was appeasing Shelby and also like flirt with her and be like whatever, and then tell a different story to Brianna and lie about it, and he got caught. So I don't have sympathy for that. I think he could have made up his mind and avoided this either way. And I would, if he had said to Brianna, look, we had what we had, but now we're separated and I want to explore with my perfect match, fine. I mean, that would be shitty for Brianna, but you got to respect it. But I think he tried to have his cake and eat it too, play both sides, be everyone's best friend, everyone's gonna love me, and he got caught.
Fair enough.
One thing though is I just want to support both sides, is that Pratt tweeted, so long story short, Curtis didn't do anything wrong, haha, hashtag too much drama. So they are getting different stories from Honeymoon Suite. One thing is, like, John and Jenny like called out, like, but it was mutual. Like when Paris said like, oh, he was toting you around.
Yeah.
No one's arguing that Shelby didn't flirt back. That's not what anyone's saying. What everyone is saying is that Curtis.
I think like, what they were just saying was like
differently in two different ways.
Yeah, I think they were saying maybe the flirting was just more innocent than Shelby was letting on.
I guess I was just saying that they're saying like, oh, it was mutual. But Shelby's not saying I didn't flirt with him at all. Mm-hmm. Like Shelby is just saying that he was different with me than he was in front of Brianna.
No, and yeah, that I agree with.
For it. Okay. Dario and Ashley.
And Layton. Blah. So interesting that because we kind of thought this too, that Dario said that Layton basically created this triangle out of nowhere, which we thought that Layton and Ashley kind of popped up out of nowhere too. So I'm glad to see that our perception kind of coincides with what they went through also.
You know, I mean, I didn't think anything new came from Dario and Ashley. Like, I didn't even know why they were up there as a triangle. I didn't really think that they had enough interesting drama. I think what was so annoying is that, and what I took away from this is just like Dario handles things like a champ, where basically Dario and Ryan like co-ask Layton why he popped up out of nowhere, and Layton responds by saying Dario hooked up with Jess on the beach. Like totally, like Layton just had that in his arsenal and would just, it didn't even matter what was asked to him, he was gonna throw that on Dario.
Yeah.
And Dario is like, yeah, that was one of the best nights of my life.
Yeah, it's amazing that Dario and Shelby were kind of almost an item because they both are so good at handling like these types of questions and stuff like outside of Dario's one slip up with Concord. But other than that, like they're really good at these types of situations. And it's, again, it's almost like an unfair fight when it's Layton versus Dario because Layton just has no idea how to handle this.
One thing is like when Ashley says she's still a virgin, like, do we need like an entire audience round of applause? Like, it's such an anomaly. It's like she clapped like she just donated $1 million to charity.
I thought so too. Like, do we? I don't know. It's like, I don't even know why that was necessary. Like, obviously, people want to know, I guess, if she was, but I don't even know why they really needed to include that.
I mean, I totally agree with what she was saying about like the disadvantage being like everyone respects her too much to just hook up with her or to like pursue her dating in the house. Like, it's true. Like, she's like the wife. Like, they're viewing her as like the serious commitment. They're viewing her as like, oh, you could be my match, but like, I'm gonna hook up with someone else. I don't even mean Dario with the whole Shelby thing. I just mean like, I totally get that is the disadvantage that comes with like revealing yourself to be a prominent virgin in the house.
And I thought even Dario handled that well. He's like, you know, that's not why I tried to pursue her. That's not why we didn't work out. That was just kind of just this thing hanging over us. But I pursued her just for her. Like that again, like I thought he handled that very well.
I mean, I do think that like she was the fourth option. I mean, like, I would have, the thing is when she's like, he's saying she was always in the mix and she was expressing like while she was hurt, like almost every time, or while she understood certain times, but was hurt when he picked Jenny. Like, I almost would have liked to see that story. But at the same time, you see that Ashley handles everything so coolly. Like, she quote brushes things off her shoulder, that I think the reason we didn't get the Dario Ashley storyline from the beginning is that Ashley didn't react enough to make it interesting. And it just kind of shows that the virginity worry that people had, like, oh, if you hook up with her, like, she'll follow you around, whatever. It's, like, not because she's a virgin. It's, like, depends on how she handles things. And she clearly handled this thing with Dario super chill and was like, I'm going to be the bigger person and whatever. Like, she's not following him around like a puppy dog because they, like, had a connection. So major props to Ashley on handling all of this Dario business. But I ultimately, like, felt really bad for her.
Yeah, it was again, this is kind of a tough spot, and I did enjoy Ellie's blast.
Oh my God.
I mean, of all the people, she was clearly the most drunk, and I was really disappointed that she did not get more airtime because she would have been ripping off zingers one after another.
Guys only want one thing. And then he's like, how are you gonna say that? Because it's true.
Because it's true. She's like, nah. It's like, yep.
She tweeted, I had this for later, but she tweeted, Jenny was sober, I was not. And then she tweeted, am I even sober? Nah.
Oh, Ellie.
But no, I mean, Dario skirted around when they were like, is she the type of girl you would have went for outside the house? And he was like, oh, like, I don't know if she is or she isn't, but, and then like promptly moves on.
He's a politician.
Yeah, but I mean, okay, so let's get to the, like, the real meat of this, which is that Dario and Shelby slept together in the communal bed next to Ashley while she was asleep. Granted, in Dario's words, I didn't know she was there. Come on, that's crazy. But she was there, and maybe that's something you should be aware of. Because, yeah, so. It is crazy.
Yeah, like, I assume that means that was in, like, after they won, and I guess they all celebrated in the house. It was in the house, like, in the living room it happened. So why wouldn't they just go to, like, the boom boom room?
It wasn't in the living room. The main bedroom is just, like, a bunch of giant mattresses on the floor.
But wouldn't, like, everyone be there, though? Like, wouldn't yeah, just everyone be Ashley?
Was there. No, everyone was there, but she happened to be next to them.
Yeah.
That's why she knew about it. Like, she was actually asleep, and the people who were awake told her. I mean, Dario, like, plays this off and is like, it was wild. And Shelby is like, I didn't know they were that close. Like, we had the initial connection. Mm-hmm. Sorry. And I don't... Well, all right. So Mia Pia asks, what do you think about Shelby sleeping with Dario? If she was still feeling Dario, shouldn't she have not cared about the Curtis situation? She said she's turned off by the way Curtis played things, telling two girls different things. But it sounds like Dario did the same thing with her and Ashley.
I think the biggest thing is she was just stuck with Curtis for a few weeks and she was like fed up with that. And then she finally gets to connect with a guy that she did have a connection with. And she just wanted to enjoy it. And I didn't have any problem with Dario doing it, or I mean, maybe where they did it could be considered a problem. But I didn't think anyone was in the wrong.
I also don't think Dario said anything to Ashley. I don't think, like, he said two different things to two different girls. Like, I think it was clear that he was after Shelby. Ashley was clearly more than aware of, like, being fourth choice.
Right.
And not in a way that she was fourth choice, but, like, she was aware of his other pursuits. And she made decisions to be with him despite that. And she had other options, too. And she could have taken them. Like, she could have been making out with Leighton instead of making out Dario. Not that that's a great option. But I don't think it was a problem. I don't even think Ashley thought it was a problem. I just think I can understand why Ashley would be hurt. Like, you liked Dario. She had feelings for him. She understands. Like, it's fine. But it's still hurtful. So I feel bad for Ashley. But I don't think anyone needs to come down on Dario or Shelby. And that's why I don't think anyone did.
Yeah, I thought everyone pretty much brushed, like, they talked about it. And then they quickly brushed it off, saying, like, water under the bridge, whatever it was, it happened, and now it's over.
Speaking of not brushing things off, Jess and Leighton. Oh I
was impressed with Jess. I was happy for her that she I thought she hit Leighton a right, like, nail on the head, that he was just out there pretty much for himself, and I thought that was exactly right.
Oh yeah I never had any doubts that Jess was gonna, like, come to this reunion, like, guns blazing and be able to say it. I mean, she said so many things, just like how she felt right away at the house. And I knew she was going to be able to do that here. But one thing is, like, she was like, I had no idea. Like, we were together the whole time and I didn't know this was happening. And then Jasmine and Jenny and then a couple other people, like, you could hear in the distance, like, saying, like, everyone told you. Did, like, that was always my question. It's like, Jasmine and Jenny, notably, I guess, to them, said this was happening. This is what Leighton is saying. And Jess openly was like, I just never believed it. Like, I think Leighton owed it to her to be more upfront. We criticized him for this the whole season, and Jess criticized herself on Twitter the whole season. I don't blame Jess at all. I think she could have listened to her friends more and had her eyes a little bit more open, but she fell hard for whatever reason for Leighton, and Leighton never gave her a reason to doubt that to her face.
Yeah, 100%. I think if Jess really knew what was going on, I don't think she would have been stuck with him all season. That would have been interesting, because if she was able to move on from him, maybe something could have happened with, you know, Garland, or, and maybe that would have led to Garland getting more airtime or stuff like that. So, yeah, if Leighton was really clear to her what was going on the way he was to other people, the Jess's whole arc could have been very different for pretty much the back half of the season.
I also hated his, like, I only ever kissed Jess. Like, Jess tweeted about that. Like, so what? Like, it's not just physical. Like, who cares if you only ever kissed me? Exactly. Like, he was being, like, emotionally intimate with other people behind her back. Like, you know, pursuing other relationships. Also, I don't recall seeing Leighton, like, telling girls not to kiss him. Like, I don't know that people wanted to kiss him.
I was thinking that, too. It's not like, yeah, he wasn't pushing anyone away.
No, exactly. And I loved how Jenny, like, transitioning into Jenny, like, she's like, we had a very early connection and it faded because I saw Anthony and he saw Jess. That is not how I remember that happening.
Wasn't it Leighton saw Jess and then because of that, she went to Anthony?
Leighton was literally like speaking to someone else. Like, I guess it was Jess. I don't even remember. And then she's like, oh, all right, here's Anthony. And maybe that was just like one soundbite, but mm-hmm. that did not quickly fade. That was bullshit.
Yeah, now, unless it was not shown to us the way it went down, the way it was depicted was not just they drifted apart at the same time. It was, I think it was more Leighton left and Jenny just said, oh, okay, and then followed suit.
Well, no, yeah, I mean, I think Jenny kind of, Leighton and Jenny's whole thing was drama, and I don't think they ever settled into a time where they're like, we're both going to pursue this. It was like rocky road the whole time. When Leighton wanted Jenny, Jenny didn't want Leighton. When Jenny wanted Leighton, Leighton didn't want her. And like, and then Jenny found someone better like throughout that dramatic process. But I think they were both always trying to like get revenge on each other, and then like Jenny didn't come back to him.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting looking back on it when Leighton said, like, you know, if you want to find the best in people, you shouldn't start with the worst. And now, for me, it seems like Leighton's the worst and Anthony's the best.
Oh, yeah. Anthony was
just kind of, it all worked out.
I definitely think Leighton was the worst guy in the house.
Agree.
Well, so one thing is this whole accusation Leighton is making. So he's like claiming that basically Jenny was like overly forward with him, like sexually and emotionally, like saying like, oh, my outfit would look good in Mississippi or whatever. And then Jenny is like, that happened week two. And that's when we were still pursuing each other. So right. Point, Jenny. And then this is so funny. Leighton's like, she would rub my head and sneak out of her bed and go to Anthony. 2 points on this. One, someone tweeted a quote, and I don't know if this is Ellie saying this in an additional scene or if Ellie said this on You Now, but quote from What a Fox, when Leighton was talking about Jenny rubbing his head, I yelled out which head, but they cut that out apparently.
That was definitely at the reunion and they cut that out.
This is
MTV.
One thing that pissed me off about this is Leighton's like, she would rub my head, go into her bed, and then sneak out of her bed and go to Anthony's bed. Jenny doesn't need to sneak anywhere. If Jenny wants to go out of her bed, it's not her sneaking out. She's not under your daddy weirdo watch. That yeah. really was just like another Leighton, like, ugh, nails down a chalkboard.
It's just, again, like Leighton, no matter what, I feel like no matter what conversation he's in, he's always trying to like push down someone else rather than just like explaining what he's doing. It's always, oh, I may have done that, but this person did this, or this person did that, and this person, like, just, he never just can talk about what he's doing or what he's thinking. It's always, well, this person's wrong, so now I look better.
And which is almost fine, because, like, I don't want to know any more of, like, any more in-depth of what Leighton is thinking.
That's fair. It just gets frustrating after a while.
No, totally agree. But the next part was my 100% favorite part of the reunion, because the sneaky girl gets called out for being sneaky. And Moosty says that she's not sneaky, but they're describing a sneaky chick, and that's Jenny.
Yeah, this was the rough part of the reunion for Jenny. She really got like boxed into a corner, and you could just see her like almost physically getting smaller and smaller and smaller, and just wanting to just like crawl away and just be like, just, I don't want to be anywhere else but here right now.
Well, here's two things. One, I felt like such validation from criticizing her and getting in trouble for it back in the day. No press.
Oh, that's right. That's how the no press started, right?
Yeah. Two, I can't stand when somebody's excuse is I'm non-confrontational. Bullshit. Like, you don't play three guys because you're non-confrontational. I don't care. I loved when Anthony was like, at what cost? So let's break this down, because this, again, was my favorite part. And not because Jenny got called out. I've grown to really like Jenny, and I understand. Look, at the end of the day, she was on a game show where she could do whatever she wants, and you signed up to get hurt by people, so that's fine. But, like, let's extrapolate into real life here. John says she's non-confrontational and she's flirty and that leads people on, but she's not trying to be sneaky. Come on, it's the same thing. Mm-hmm. She calls herself a people pleaser. Ryan calls her manipulative. I love Ryan getting in on it, calling her manipulative. And then Anthony cracks, and I loved seeing the side of Anthony.
You bought that? I wasn't fully buying that he felt
I completely
played.
Completely bought that. What's not to buy? What are you not buying?
I just felt like he thought that would be a good thing to say and to kind of just like maybe rub a little salt in the wound.
But why? What's the point? He's the one that broke it off with her.
Is that clear that he was the one who broke it off? I thought it was just kind of like a mutual break off.
It seemed like she was pissed about it. Like, she went to visit him. She was interested in having a real relationship with him. She had real feelings, and he just kind of stopped talking to her.
I don't know. I mean, it could be true. I just wasn't fully on board that he felt played at that time.
I don't think he's the type of guy that wants to go up to go on national TV and say he felt like a fool. Like, I don't think he's that kind of guy who wants to express, like, I don't think he has anything to gain from being upset about Jenny.
It allows him to offer up a new side of him that's like vulnerable and sensitive, and that could make him more desirable. So I just didn't
get that at all from this. And I even still don't really see his motivation, because I think he got enough of a good guy edit at the end where everyone loves him.
I mean, look, I'm not saying that's 100% what I think. I just wasn't, oh, this is exactly what I think. There could have been some underlying meaning behind all that. I just wasn't 100% on board with it.
I guess. I just thought it seemed just like a natural thing. Like, I opened up to you for the first time. I don't open up to anyone. Like, this is the first time in my life I feel like a fool. And that's when she says, like, I didn't want to make you feel like a fool. I don't know. That's interesting. I totally thought that that was a natural. Because I don't think also his motivation would be to, like, make her, like, to kind of sell her out to make himself look better, to make her feel terrible. Like, I genuinely, like, I'm surprised to hear you say this, because I thought you thought more, like, that Anthony was more invested in this than I even thought. Like, I thought he would leave the show and wash his hands and have no issue. And you thought that they had a realer connection.
I mean, I kind of think this leads to thinking that that's what I'm saying. I don't know. If he really did break it off with her, then I think my theory kind of like drops a little bit. But if it was more like a mutual thing, then maybe he wanted a little more, or wanted to potentially have a little more. And he's a little upset, or maybe he just wants to play a little mind game. I don't know. I just think there could be a lot more meaning behind it than just he felt played.
I guess. I always thought he was kind of direct, but who knows? I mean, look. Fair enough. We may never know. I think that I thought the story was Jenny went to visit him. She said, I was interested in a relationship. I had real feelings for you. And he mentioned that, like, he opened up to her, and then he had to see, like, all of this other shit, which is what she was doing behind his back, like, was flirting with Leighton, was expressing, like, real, like, jubilation and being with John in the honeymoon suite. And John calls her out there, too. Like, you told me what I wanted to say. What I wanted to hear, and you went to Chicago and you didn't even tell me you were in town. I mean, that was dark and shady.
Yeah, that was bad. This whole moment was just not good for Jenny in like every aspect.
But then that's when like he's like, you do it because you don't want to be confrontational. And my question is like, do what? Like, or you did it because you didn't want to be confrontational. Was that you went to Chicago and didn't see me and didn't say anything because you want to be confrontational? Or was that like you did us, like you did the whole thing with me and your feelings for me on the show because you didn't?
I think it was more that I don't know what would be confrontational about just like going out to grab a drink with John in Chicago. So I think it was more,
well, I think
just,
he would have to say like, I'm here visiting Anthony,
maybe. I don't know. Yeah, it's tough because how did John say he found out through Anthony, right? Or was it at that time?
He just said not through you. I don't know if he saw pictures, like, or I don't know if, you know, I don't know what the deal was. Yeah. But then Jenny says, like, that's the best thing about John. Like, he gets it. And I just want to be like, yeah, he gets you. Like, you didn't give him a chance because you were so into Anthony. Like, I don't even believe that. I just think she liked what Anthony had to offer better. Like, a little bit more bad boy, different look, like, probably more her type. And so I feel played by Jenny in the way that she was so, I mean, look, you and I were so convinced that she was into John now until we saw that little honeymoon suite clip.
Yeah.
Like we were so thrown off by the fact that she was even still considering Anthony that I can imagine Anthony watching this and feeling like a fool.
I guess that's true. I could possibly see that.
Ooh, that's throwing me off that you think that is a play.
I'm just throwing it out there. I think there's not everything is as it seems.
That sounds like knowledgeable. Like a knowledgeable. Like not everything's as it seems.
Hashtag do what you love. I'm trying to be Curtis.
But do you actually have information on this? I will pump you.
I have no information on anything I said.
Just because it sounded like a very like, I know something you don't know.
I know very little.
Because I don't want to feel like a fool. I don't open up to people, and I opened up to you, and now, for the first time, I'm going to feel like a fool.
oh boy. This is going down a path. What else we have on this? Do you have anything else on Jenny?
No, let's go to the double Ps.
Yeah. The biggest thing I took away from this is that I really missed having Paris in the house. Like, she was only, I think, in there for like 3 weeks, and I kind of just missed having her. I don't think I realized that.
Paris and Pratt have both tremendously improved via, like, their social media presence, the, like, bits we see of them in the honeymoon suite. Like, I think Paris's call-outs were a lot more educated this time because she had the information because she'd seen the show. Mm-hmm. So I think it just showed that, like, had the story been different for Paris and Pratt, I probably would have liked them both more. Like, I like them both more now than I ever did when they were on the show.
Yeah, I would have loved to see an alternate universe of Are You the One where Pratt and Paris weren't a match and just kind of see where they would go from there and just be in the house with other people.
I just want Paris and Pratt to have not thrown the first matchup. Like, not be a match, and that whole first matchup shit thing didn't even happen. Because I think them throwing it made them the, like, evil people in the house, and I just didn't like the whole hypocrisy of it all. Like, I just had a lot of issues with that, and that kind of clouded how much, like, Pratt's attitude about it in the confessionals, like, him being so full of himself, like, that all, like, really clouded my vision of them.
Yeah, that's true. But then, and then again, they also, that means they would have been gone in week one, and we would have had very little to go off them.
Right, but if they weren't a match and they didn't throw. Right.
So a double alternate universe.
That said, first of all, they show up on these couches with the worst body language I've ever seen. Like,
and they're also sitting
flying
with Tyler and Garland, which made no sense.
I mean, whatever. Like, that's how you know, like, on the extended scene, like, I guess people talk to them, but whatever. Okay, awkward. I don't know if you saw this tweet, and I'll get to the tweets later, but, like, Pratt, and he speaks about it later, like, Pratt has a drinking problem, and so all of this Pratt pitcher stuff, like Pratt juice, was so awkward.
Yeah, I saw he tweeted, like, oh, I'm 1 month sober. And
don't jump to the tweets.
I'm sorry. All right, I don't know what he said. But yeah, like, them, like, saying, oh, chug, like,
I mean, he, like, stopped drinking after the reunion, apparently, I guess.
I mean, at least I think he tried to just, like, sip it a little bit. But yeah, that was...
No, I was going to say this at the end. When they raised their pitcher at the end, his is half empty.
Oh, is it really? Oh.
Yeah. He was still drinking then. I mean, he had said, well, we'll get through this, but he says that he's, like, been binge drinking since him and Paris broke up. So, like, they don't know it at the time that, like, he has a drinking problem. Like, right. But every time they're like, we raise our Pratt juice. I was like, no.
What I found really interesting about their breakup is the fact that it started with them basically spending too much time together by themselves. And that's kind of something that I brought up early, not just because I thought it would, like, be the downfall of a couple, but I still don't get why they're so secluded. Like, I do wonder, let's say they're in the resort, and then at night or every couple of days they're allowed to come party in the house. I wonder how much that would have changed things for them.
I agree. I think Pratt, like, has issues that are beyond, like, the show, but that is fair. I mean, Khaleesi and Dylan were there for a really long time, but they didn't last because of other reasons. And who knows if the reasons they gave weren't actually Dylan got sick of her at the honeymoon suite. But I do think, though, that, like, when did the next couple enter the house? Like, how long were they actually alone?
I think
not that long.
I think for a few weeks, no? Like, who was the second perfect match?
Curtis and Shelby?
Yeah, so that was episode 5, so...
I mean,
six?
Paris is saying that this happened halfway into their time in the honeymoon suite. Like, Shelby and Curtis came and relieved some of that, especially because Shelby and Curtis were not an in-love couple, and it wouldn't put pressure on Paris and Pratt to be alone. And I'm sure Shelby and Curtis were looking to hang out any chance they got.
Right.
So I don't know that I necessarily buy they had too much time alone. I totally, like, get that they were thrust into living together for 6 weeks, but they didn't have no one else to talk to. I mean, we've seen pictures, we've seen clips of them all together.
Yeah, because I just think the whole situation is just weird. Like, these aren't, like, people who are dating for, like, months and now get to spend, like, a few weeks together. Like, these are people who met on a reality show or drunk half the time, and now they have to spend a lot of time together. And I just think that's not, like, a good recipe to, like, build a relationship.
That's definitely fair. I also think that Pratt has a drinking problem, and basically for 6 weeks he was just binge drinking with her, and then
binge banging, apparently.
Well, yeah, and then he, like, freaks out. So he calls her wasted on the phone. This is like their story. That was like kind of confusing. He's wasted 2 days after they leave each other in Puerto Rico. He breaks up with her over the phone. Then he tries to claim that he doesn't remember doing that. So she kind of, this is the worst thing. She kind of views it like, okay, it's an eye for an eye. Like, I made out with John. You broke up with me drunk. Like, that's not good. Keeping score. Okay. And then he's like, they have communication issues basically where they're long distance. She wants to talk and he thinks it's okay to not talk for a week. I mean, I still think he had issues. I don't think that was his normal like thought process. He's just saying like, look, I was a dick. He's just kind of owning it. We find out that Paris has a boyfriend, doesn't want anything to do with Pratt. Cause he still can't look at her. He still can't apologize. I mean, that's true. It was so weird. Pratt was so weird. And I guess he must have hit rock bottom at some point or decided to get treatment or be sober like shortly after this reunion. But he was being very, very weird. And then he says like, look, I'm still in love with her. I still want to be with her. I'm a wreck. I've been getting hammered ever since I left her basically. And that she's the girl he wants to be with and he has problems and he wants to be a better man and turn his life around.
Yeah, because I mean, the whole situation of him talking, it really felt like it was an intervention. Like, even Ron was like, oh, you got a lot of people who care for you. And Pratt's like, yeah, this is my family. It like really took like a turn of like this, like a serious problem and like they're really caring for him. And all of a sudden, like the attention came, what took away from the Pratt and Paris separation to like just like Pratt's like problem. Which is, again, adding to him, like, chugging Pratt juice to be, like, a weird situation.
Yeah, and then, like, Ellie calls out, and a couple of people call out they have faith. And they've been tweeting, like, Ellie's been tweeting, like, yeah, she has faith they'll get back together. Like, what do you think the future of Paris and Pratt will be?
I think they'll be the baby shower before season three. No, I don't think, I think they'll, maybe they'll get back together at some point, but I don't see anything major developing between them two. I mean, it's going to take a while, I think. A lot of these people need to just, like, get out of the spotlight and really adjust. Because now this is, like, the official end of their time on television. So now they're officially going to start going back to the real world. And people are going to stop, like, recognizing them and all that stuff. So this will be their transition back to real world. So maybe after a while they can reconnect. But I don't see anything happening for a while.
I'm just thinking this. I mean, I could see them both on the challenge on an X's. I mean, this is going to be an X's, so I don't know how soon there will be another X's, but I could see them both being placed on a challenge. They kind of remind me of Jemmy and the very, very sadly recently deceased Knight. I just kind of think that's kind of their relationship where they love each other and they're going to fight and they're going to break up and they may like be in each other's lives still. And we may see them on a challenge, like fighting and being there for each other. Like, I don't think this is the end of their relationship in terms of just being in each other's lives. I think Pratt is really working to better himself. And I think Paris, when she comes down from this kind of like anger, like you're saying, settles into real life. Like, I could see them like still being like a thing, but maybe just not dating. Like, they would still date other people. Like, Jemmy and Knight were dating other people, but I still ultimately think that they have a very, very real connection that we saw unfold on this reunion.
I mean, yeah, they're really one of the only couples to like have an initial attraction and be a perfect match. Even going back to like season one, like most of the people who were perfect matches weren't like, boom, week one, we're together. Like, most of those fell apart or didn't develop for a few weeks. So, they're a very big exception to the Are You the One group. So, who knows? Who knows? Maybe one day.
And another early connection, we get to, they're saving, like, really the meat for the end of the end of it, is, like, Brandon and Christina. We'd been waiting for Brandon and Christina the whole reunion. Here they are.
Yeah, and this was the big... we've seen the last couple of weeks, even before like the Team Z stuff, a lot of outrage towards Alexandria. And for someone who had basically no input at all this season, it was a little weird why they were hating on her so much. And now we find out why. So that's good to find out.
Well, basically, Christina and Brandon are both talking about how like they still think they're a match, basically, except for the fact that Alexandra came to visit Brandon and they had sex. And Christina didn't find out until 5 days before she was moving to Vegas. Like, she quit her job, she sold her car, she had a plane ticket, and she found out that this happened, which is so, well, it's scummy and it's not scummy. It's scummy. I want to know what you think about this. was Brandon in the wrong for sleeping with Alex and hiding it? Brandon says that they were on like a don't ask, don't tell basis.
I mean, it's really tough because I think hiding it wasn't, no matter what, whether sleeping with her was right or wrong, hiding it was not the way to do it. The right thing to do was at least just say it right away just to like get it over with. But the actual acts, I don't know, because I mean, they, like they said, they weren't really together. I think it was just like he slept with someone. It wouldn't have been that big a deal, but because it was a cast member and someone that supposedly they were friends with, that's still up in the air, but supposedly they were friends with, is kind of just like another dig. Like, what if like Christina like slept with like Dario or something like that? Like, I think, I don't know if Brandon really would have taken too kindly to that. So I can see why Christina's mad, even though they weren't really together.
I think I completely agree with you. Like, you hit the nail on the head for me, is that it was a cast member that she was friendly with, but regardless, it was a cast member, and that kind of makes her look like a fool. Like, if it's someone you don't know, fine, that's their arrangement. Cast member, that's the problem. So the best part is that Alex told Ellie, and Ellie shouts out, like, I can't keep no GD secrets. And then she says she took it upon herself to tell Bree. And I guess what they were really telling Bree, who then told Brandon, who quote-unquote handled it, is that Alex was planning on dropping it to be public knowledge at the reunion.
I fully believe that.
Oh, it's true. Because then Alex was like, that wasn't my plan, which is like she had a plan, just that wasn't it. Exactly. Right. Had Alex not told Ellie, can you imagine Christina and Brandon are living together in Las Vegas and Alex shows up at the reunion and says, we slept together 3 months ago?
Yeah, that would have been, I like that Brandon and Christina, so I didn't want to see that, but that would have been an epic moment to see like what would have happened.
I don't think I wanted to see that. Like, I'm happy that didn't happen, because it also would have been such, like, so weird, because everyone would have just gotten mad at Alex. Like, no, like, I still think, and we'll get to who they should be mad at, but I still think it would have completely backfired. They just would have been like, why would you come here and ruin their lives?
Yeah. I think initially Christina would have been like, Brandon, how can you do this? And then all of a sudden it would have like been like, Alex, how are you doing? And then all of it would have focused on Alexandria. But it's amazing to think like 2 weeks ago how little Alexandria meant to like the RU to one universe. And now all of a sudden she has TMZ articles being written about her. She's like a major focal point of the reunion. And she's like, all of a sudden, will be one of the lasting memories of this season, which is amazing to think where she stood like 2 weeks ago. She would have been, if someone said, oh, do you remember Alexandria from RU the One? 99% of the people would have been, who? Now everyone's probably going to remember.
No, I mean, my only reaction to this was like, did Alex sleep with Brandon just to get airtime?
You think she knew immediately that she wasn't going to get airtime? So she planned to sleep with Brandon.
No, but I mean, it's like, I don't think it was a real plan, but like, I don't know. Devious. It was definitely good for her like popularity, just in terms of like people knowing about her.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure her canvas is going like off the walls.
Well, one thing that I thought was funny is, like, I mean, we get the classic, like, Christina's like, they both lied about it. And then it's a classic argument, like, you know, if nothing's wrong, you wouldn't have lied about it. Like, if Brandon mm-hmm. really didn't think this was a problem, he wouldn't have lied. And then the best line of the night, which is Alex saying they were not friends. And Christina's like, you were my fucking friend, bitch. Like, that's the best line that's ever been uttered. Like,
it was great. I love, like, little pause. Like, she said, like, you were my fucking friend, bitch. Like, like, a nice pause for emphasis, so.
And then Christina's like, you're a slut. And she's like, shut up.
But what's interesting,
I hated
is
that whole exchange.
I remember even from the finale, me commenting on the fact that Alexandria and Christina were like celebrating together and be like, oh, we did it together. We're both still here. And I was a little stunned that they were like, seemed like they were friends on the show. So I think they were friends.
They were friends. I think Alex has just like alienated herself from everyone as a way to like deal with the intense hatred, which is fair. I mean, what are you going to do?
Yeah, but now, I think, not to like make Alexandria like the sympathetic figure, but I think there's a point where like the hatred goes too far, especially on like Twitter. Like, Twitter is like, you want to see like dregs of the universe read some comments on like Twitter, like it gets bad. I think it's kind of getting close to that point for her.
I mean, it's like what Moosty and Dario both say. Like, Moosty is the first person to kind of be like, why aren't you blaming Brandon, without explicitly saying that? And then Dario kind of just like pulls it out and is like, it's not about, he doesn't say she's not a slut. He just says, it shouldn't be about her being a slut. It should be about you two. And like, basically the bottom line is this ruined everything for now, but it seems like Christine is open to revisiting it. She now moved to California instead of Vegas and they're close enough.
Yeah, I would put them as my number one contender to eventually be back together from this group.
So we have a couple questions about this whole situation. Mia Pia asks, finally, you two know why the Goon Squad has been harassing girl Alex. I've known for a while. Dang, internet spoilers. Anyways, thoughts on the girl still being cool with Brandon? Isn't it just as much his fault, if not more? And then Alicia Francione says, no slut shaming. And obviously, Brandon deserves blame. But how bad do you want to accidentally knee Alexandria in the nose? So what team are you on? Hate Alexandria or hate Brandon?
Do I have to be on either of those teams?
No, but what's the...
See, I think the biggest thing is that... I don't know the conversation that obviously Brandon and Christina had, but it seemed the way Christina was saying that Brandon was at least remorseful in sleeping with it. Even if he hid it for a while, at least when he told her, the way it was portrayed that he was, like, apologetic and was sorry.
I didn't get that at all.
It seemed the way Christina was, like, saying that she... Well, that's why she was like okay with Brandon, that he was a little apologetic about it. And the reason why she's not okay with Alexandria is that she's saying, oh, I'm not even your friend. And even more so, the potential bombshell of just dropping this blindsidingly at the reunion.
Which I kind of think is totally missed Brandon's quote unquote apologeticness.
That's the sense that I got from Christina.
Like, he said they weren't together.
No, she, I'm,
he pulled
did.
A Ross, like we were on a break.
But I got that sense from Christina that whatever conversation, because she knew about this before, so whatever conversation they had, it seemed to go well enough that she was reaching the point of forgiving him, which leads me to believe that he must have apologized.
I think time heals all, and I think he's just had time, and he's been working her over, and they've still been having fun together, and eventually enough time will go by where she'll just forget about this as long as he just is quiet about it.
That's fair. And I think the reason why they're all hating on Alexandria is just because she doesn't seem sorry at all, whether or not she has to be sorry.
Right.
But a simple apology could have made this go away a long time ago, probably, and not waiting potentially to the reunion to blow it all up. Like, if immediately after it happened, Alexandria called Christina like a day or two later, be like, oh my God, I was in Vegas. We got like really drunk. I'm sorry. Like, me and Brandon hooked up. Like, I know we were friends. I didn't mean for this to happen. Blah, 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 blah. I think it could have been squashed pretty early on.
That's super fair. So just some Twitter reaction from the Goon Squad. AJ on Twitter asked, why were you guys mad at Alex Kim and not Brandon? He was the one with Christina. And just responds, because she's a backstabbing bitch and men will be men. Which is what you expect from Jess, because she has these like very specific gender role ideas. But like, that's kind of what I think is the deal here. Is like, Alexandria is the webcam model. She's like a sex professional, and she went and did a shady thing with Brandon, and it was shady of her, and it was wrong of Brandon in a way that just like, it was something he knew would hurt her and she would find out about, and he didn't come clean. He was gonna let her move there without telling her, without fully disclosing vital information. I think he was in the complete wrong and didn't, in terms of, he should have gotten more of the wrath of the Goon Squad than Alexandria. But when Christina is cool with him and is going to think about taking him back, your friends can't attack him on Twitter, right? Mm-hmm. So you attack her. Brianna says, it takes two to tango, but how are you going to say Christina wasn't your friend? What kind of shady fucking person tries to blindside someone? And I completely agree. And there's Brianna. Brianna actually said, the only reason I'm mad at you is because you were going to blindside her and you told Ellie that, right? And then she's lying about it. So that's fair. And Christina just says, if you want respect, respect yourself, which is harsh.
Yeah, there's a very harsh words were spread across the Twitter webs last night.
Well, instead of our transition from this, because it's hard to transition, I want to talk about MTV's transition from this, which is like coming up after the commercial. We'll talk to Ellie and life in the dreaded friend zone. Ellie, did you see Ellie's tweet response to that?
I think she said something like, F-U MTV.
She said, right? Why the fuck they gotta do me like that? Quote, the life in the dreaded friend zone. Bye, MTV. Fucking bye.
It even goes back to, like, I remember, like, initial cast photo they released, and Ellie looked like someone, like, punched her in the face. Like, she had, like, this face, like, and, like, I don't know what.
What are you talking about? She had her tongue out, and you said she was your number one hot girl power ranking.
No, like, a group cast photo. There was this group cast photo. Everyone could try to find it. but Ellie just looks like someone's like trying to like pop her or something. It's like
it didn't
really
bother
weird.
You in our preview.
I don't think I saw it in the preview, and I was too obsessed with her What a Fox Twitter handle to care.
One thing I thought was great is when they call Ellie up, she has her pillow on her lap, which I think meant her dress was like too short and they had her like censor it with a pillow on her lap.
I'm just surprised she wasn't wearing tie-dye.
I mean,
did she showed
great.
Up in tie-dye and they were like, no, you have to put on a dress?
I think Ellie looked great. I think she was debuting her new tat and she was just honest as ever. I was so upset when I looked at there was only 2 minutes left of the reunion when they brought Ellie on, but they're like, have you tried to explore things further with Nathan? And she's like, I mean, we might tonight. That wasn't even an accent, but she said, we might tonight. And Nathan is just like loving every time she says something ridiculous. Like he's cracking up.
Yeah, Nate really like all of a sudden Nate is like laughing and smiling basically at everything that was going on. So
because he doesn't have the pressure of being the person who likes the other person less.
That's
and
true.
He doesn't feel like he's, you know, working for it. And that's why I think they're a great match. And he's saying, like, do you buy this at all? This is what I want to know if you buy. Do you buy the Nate and Ellie story, which is that they may be pursuing something where Nathan's like, I've gotten to know her a lot better and I see why we're a match. I love this girl. I'm trying to give her the world. And Ellie, someone asked her on Twitter, where do things stand with, you know, Nathan and Ellie? A couple are just friends. And Ellie wrote way more than friends.
I think things are going to end badly for Ellie. That's right. I think she's still more into him than he's into her. And I think if and when Nate finds someone that he really wants to go after, I think things are going to end badly for Ellie.
Ellie's been tweeting like really dark, like, you know, why don't you see me, like lyrics.
So
but
maybe things have already gone
No, but I also think like maybe they slept together that night or whatever. Like I think the way she portrays herself, and I know she like has a real heart and like would hurt and has feelings. But like the thing with Anthony is like, well, when Anthony put you in the friend zone, was it hard? She's like, no, I'll still do whatever the fuck I want. Like, so I don't know if she would like really get hurt if she's like fallen actually harder, as hard for Nathan as they're both presenting it. But I don't know if that's the kind of thing I didn't really buy.
Yeah, I don't see them as like a couple anytime soon.
So this is then when they raise a glass to Pratt. For Pratt juice, and Pratt's pitcher is noticeably half empty.
I didn't notice that, so it wasn't noticeable for me.
The tape. And then so we have a couple of questions that we didn't work in here. Haley Strong, are you mad about the lack of closure for notable couples such as Alex and Jasmine, Garland and Jess, Garland at all, or is that just me?
Well, Garland not being featured in the reunion is not shocking at all. If he was featured in the meeting, that would have been shocking. So any that's not bad. But Jasmine and Alex not being featured was actually really stunning because they were probably the most likely couple outside of Pratt and Paris to still be together. So I was very surprised that they had nothing. I don't think Alex spoke.
We can only assume that when, you know, while we're recording this and the extended finale is rolling, that they did talk to these people and they did show it, but like at the same time we don't really understand why they tried to make it two reunions and air the same thing twice. If anything, they could have at least done part one and part two because they clearly right. wanted something to lead into Real World Skeletons, but this was not the way to do it. We had to record the podcast and we had to record it. Any additional information we're gonna assume wasn't that important, and if Jess and Alex are together, then that's a surprise to me.
Yeah, I agree. Anything that they want, like, that's why I like those bonus scenes. I view like this is like a basically a just a gigantic deleted scene. And if it was that important, yeah, they would have found a way to work it into the real reunion. But yeah, I was stunned that we didn't even get even just like a quick 2 minute segment with Alex and Jasmine. That was shocking.
It's a lot to ask an Are You the One audience to watch 2.5 hours of content, especially when 1 hour of it is repeated.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that was weird. I don't know what else to say, except it was like completely weird. No one should have watched last night. Everyone should have watched this version of it if they wanted us to see the information.
Yeah, I agree.
Question. Are you Rob has a podcast when you responded to Haley?
I was, yeah.
Oh, okay. Because I was like, oh my God, like who on Rob has a podcast wrote this sick Garland burn? But I'm not going to read it because it was you. Everyone can go to Facebook and read that.
Yeah. I don't know how sometimes to take posting as Rob as a podcast off and just post as myself. So that was me.
Chris and Nar asked, who came off the best and worst at the reunion? Were you surprised by anyone acting better or worse than you expected?
I think Shelby came across looking very good. I thought Paris actually came across looking very, very good. I thought her whole segment with Pratt, she came across pretty sympathetic. And even her, when she chimed in some of the stuff, I thought that was good. So I thought those two were probably the best. And Dario. I thought those three.
I thought Dario only came off okay. Like, I thought he, like, got called out on some stuff, and he handled it by being like, yeah, it was wild. Like, I thought he, the way he handled it was, like, entertaining, but I thought he, like, overall, it was just kind of, like, okay. I thought Paris and Pratt both came off well, not because I condone anything that Paris, that Pratt did to Paris, but, like, that was just such a real moment that I think they both kind of get points for being so vulnerable and are more sympathetic that way. I thought Jenny, like, Jenny somehow didn't really come off bad. I thought what you're saying about Paris is, like, outbursts. I thought they really did further the narrative on certain things where things were getting boring. So, I would say Paris and Pratt came off just, like, in terms of having the most interesting things to discuss for having been gone for so long.
I think what helped is that Paris was chiming in on stuff that was going on in the honeymoon suite, and that's where she was for the large majority of her time. So what we kept getting annoyed about was at, like, the matchup ceremony with her chiming in and stuff going in on the house when she has no idea what's going on. Like, she has less of an idea as the audience. But her chiming in on what's going on with, like, Curtis and Shelby is helpful because she was there.
No, agreed. So then Kristen Nahr is someone who asked me a question, asked us a question, and then tweeted at us, and I told her we would get back to it at this point. And so she reminded me, thank you very much, because I probably would have forgotten. This is where I bring back the question I harassed Allie about on Twitter, right? I really have to know if I'm alone here before this podcast wraps. In retrospect, how damn frightening is Layton's bio about crawling over bodies now that we've seen how he acts? So with that, we went back to the tape and I listened to our preview podcast, and there are some interesting things to discuss now. Having looked back, this is our final Are You the One wrap up. So let's really wrap it all up. So the first thing that I wanted to talk about from where we felt then till now is, are we happy with the way the twist was set up? Like, we were still debating then if Christina was actually the girl who was part of a double match, or like, do you feel that we both felt then that we shouldn't have known that she's part of the double match? Seeing it live, what do you think?
I think I stand by that it would have been a lot more interesting if we didn't know the double match. I think it also made the game basically impossible. I think you have to declare who the extra person is. So looking back on that, I think it's fine that they declared who it is. I think the rules then attached to it, as we went over in detail many times in the last couple of weeks, I thought those were very bad. And I think we lost a lot that the girl, the extra girl, never, either Christina or Tyler, got sent home. I think that took away from the season. So that was a little disappointing.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I don't think that there was any, I thought we were so wrong. There's no way they should have just said, here are 11 girls, two of you have a match with one guy. Like, I thought that would have been, maybe it would have been interesting if they knew the guy who had the double match, and then, like, that would be an interesting twist. Maybe it may make it too easy, but it could be like, then anytime he's with someone, like, he would always be thinking, like, but maybe there's someone else better. I don't think that would really be better, but I don't think that there's any chance it would have been watchable to watch 11 girls scramble thinking any one of them, two of them were doubles and they didn't know
that. That would have been too much.
Okay, I want you to redo your hot girl power rankings. I know we both remember Ellie as your first one, but do you remember what your three were?
Was it Shelby and Jenny?
I'm not going to tell you what it was. I just want you to redo it now after the show, and then I'll tell you.
Okay. I'm not doing all 11.
No, top three. Did three initially, three now.
I'll say Shelby, Christina, Bree.
See, you had Ellie, Christina, Shelby.
Okay.
And let's see. Okay, so the other thing is we got the second greatest mystery was solved, the chilling on the balcony, getting fucking lit about Ellie. And I will have to say that this was, and we both have good calls and bad calls, but Ellie was one of my best calls because you said, you did say she was going to be the breakout star, but you said, quote, she's definitely going to be the girl who hooks up in the first night, then another person the second night, and then starts some crazy love triangle. You thought she was going to be the most desired, and she was your number one, and she was the Shanley 2.0. Oh, I'm the one. I said she's going to get caught with her pants down, which check happened. And I said, I think she was going to be more like Simone, where all the she was going to be like loved by everyone, but she's going to be outspoken and all the guys are going to be like, okay, we get it, bro. Nailed it.
Fair.
How could you not say it's fair? I basically said she was going to be the one in the friend zone. Nailed it.
All right.
Listen, still, you'll get your moment, but I was surprised when I heard myself say that.
All right. Good job by you.
I think we both thought the virgin thing was going to be way more than it was. I think that was a huge letdown.
Yeah, I think I said I was waiting for like someone to steal her purity ring.
You did say that.
I was disappointed that ever happened.
Question of the night. Did Jenny fulfill the promise of being a shot of whiskey in a porcelain teacup?
See, that can mean... I still have no idea what that means, so sure. I'm going to go, yes, why not? I still don't know what a shot of whiskey in a porcelain teacup means.
Does it please people?
Maybe. It's, yeah, it's a people.
Would you say
it
that's
blends.
Pleasing to people?
It's the chameleon of the drinks.
And then Paris. This was just like a funny thing. Like, most incorrect bio. Her bio emphasized that she was the greatest at dating when she self-admits that she's horrible at dating in her complete breakdown. So I think going back to the bios, like none of the bios, maybe one bio gave us any accurate information as to what was going to happen on the show.
I think, didn't Nate say that he clings to people too much? So that was pretty accurate.
Yeah, like one or two had like some information, but the rest were like, she's great at relationships. Like, he's a 12-year-old. Okay. Tyler Abron, my number one hot girl pick of the season.
Juice.
I will say that she looked better in her picture, but she's still a beautiful girl. I think she just started like grinding on me.
Whoa.
Okay.
Hey now.
Or grating on me. Whatever. Okay. Number one mystery. What is Guise? Still unsolved. Still, we did our best, you know? Pour some out for Guise because we'll never know.
That's really going to go down as like our greatest podcasting moment of all time.
Your greatest podcasting moment. I said on the air that I removed my mic from my mouth because I couldn't do it anymore.
And that's one of my greatest moments really ever. Is the discoverment. Discoverment? That's definitely not a word. Discovery.
Okay, so Jasmine, this is the person I was the most wrong about, because I hated her from her bio. And this was the one where she was gorgeous and beautiful and can even rap. And she's just so great. Will she find anyone to be as great as her? And I think that her bio exaggerated her confidence. Like, I think what we saw in her was that, like, she knows what she wants. She's very direct. Like, she's not afraid to talk about the future. And I think the bio kind of like over exaggerated that into like a crazy cockiness. Mm-hmm. But I do see this kind of attitude about herself and what she deserves, which is fine. Maybe hindered her at first with Alex because she was like, oh, you're not my match. Like, you don't have career goals that I have. Like, I can rap.
I can rap. Actually, fun fact, I saw some videos. She actually can rap. She's actually pretty good.
I never doubted her, but I wasn't impressed by it in her bio list of 1,000 amazing things about her. Number one most improved from both of us, Brianna.
Yes, we were very down on Brianna preseason.
You compared her to Britney, and yes. I said that was giving her too much credit. Wow. And she became, I think, maybe both of our favorites in the house. Favorite in the house.
Yeah, I think so.
But she cleared up her bio, and you can check that out on robhaswebsite.com. Robhasapodcast.com.
I'm so proud.
Our interview there.
You're doing plugs. I'm very proud.
This is your best. Your best call was Jess.
100%. Totally agree. I had the crazy eyes down.
You nailed her, except that we both liked her.
Yeah, and I was actually a little surprised how much I enjoyed Jess. She was a lot of fun.
You also, your biggest nail on her was that you thought she was most likely to kill someone, and they even said that in the house, so you were really on point there. Okay, this is my most shameful part, is that girl Alex, I opened with that she looks so familiar to me, and her name is even familiar to me. I never watched her on cam modeling. That's like the one thing you don't want to have said about the webcam model, is that, oh, she looks so familiar to me, but I just can't place it.
Oh, I did not even, that's hysterical. I don't remember that at all. I just remember having no opinion on Alexandria, and that was pretty much proven right to like the last
week and a half of our lives.
Which is amazing because her bio was the most interesting. Like, I thought she was the biggest letdown. Yeah, our conversation about her was me convincing you that her bio was interesting, that she's jealousy, control issues. Her guys are hapless prey, which does not conform to being cheated on 17 times, but
yeah,
whatevs. Okay, so this is where the question comes in from Kristen R about Leighton, where I pointed out that crawling over it, you were like, this seems fine. I was like, crawling over an even bigger pile of missed wrongs was just like really, I mean,
gruesome.
Had anyone else said that and like we were revisiting it and I said that that was weird, like it would have been brushed off. But like Leighton really does like treat women like just like a pile of bodies if he doesn't like them. And like Jess was even saying, I guess, that he says like there's only gonna be one Mrs. Jones. Like,
yeah, I enjoy that. That was almost like straight out of the bio. I felt like that was our conversation.
Exactly. And it's just like that whole just makes me like him even less than I do, which is like pretty much rock bottom.
That's
at this
amazing
point.
Amazing that he still have room to go down.
And this was a great call by you. You said that he was the leading contender to cross over to the challenge.
Yeah, I wish I was wrong though. But yeah, he'll be there. He'll be there.
Moosty, I want to revisit because he was my number one pick. And then I
enjoyed Moosty.
I just don't think this was the right show for him.
He did seem very out of place. It was weird. It seemed like everyone like adored him almost as like an outsider. Like anytime he spoke, they'd be like, hey, Johnny boy. It's like they felt like he was like a stranger from the outside. Ooh.
Yeah, he was never like a real option for any of them. Like no one ever like really liked him as their number one choice, but everyone like loved it. It was kind of like the Ashley treatment. Like
He was like the alley. He got friend zoned by like everyone.
I don't know. I think he was maybe that's true. I viewed him more as like Ashley, who also kind of got friend zoned as in like, he's so great. He really gets me. Like, he's the lawyer. And, like, I'm going to go hook up with him.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it's all kind of the same. But that was kind of the letdown. Okay. Brandon. I have a question for you.
My boy.
You loved him from the beginning. Someone you wanted to hang out with. And then you stood by him all season.
Okay.
My question for you is this. Do you actually like what you saw of him on the show consistently, or are you just hanging on to the fact that you like him on Twitter and you liked his bio?
No, I mean, he's a lot more like sensitive and emotional than I imagined him to be. But I don't judge guys by how they are like in relationships. I think he's just the cool guy that with amongst the guys would be a lot of fun. And I still stand by that.
But even his, oh, I have 2 degrees. Oh, this would be so easy. Oh, all of his condescending, whiny shit.
But I mean, he's like a very cocky guy. I don't deny that at all. I think he's obviously probably like the cockiest guy in the house. And I mean, I think if I was around him for a very large extended period, it could get annoying. But I stand by it. I think he's a cool guy.
I think that had there not been a preview and Twitter not exist, you would not have liked him.
Well, if Twitter didn't exist, then I would have no reason.
And I think you only like him because he responds to your tweets.
Jasmine responds to my tweets, too.
You only like Brandon because he plays poker and he responds to your tweets.
Hey, but I want to be
whiny and he was condescending. I'm just kidding. I kind of like him, too. But he was whiny and condescending.
I still think he's pouring the things in the test tubes.
Okay, so Garland, the only reason I bring him up is because all we said about him was that he has the shortest bio, the least information, there's nothing here, and there's no information. Like, nothing changed. Most accurate bio.
Yeah, I was about to say, like, if you want someone who's added bio depicted their time on the show, you got Garland, because there was nothing there.
And then one thing that I just want to put about Dario before we get to our predictions, is that, and I just skipped anyone that we didn't say anything interesting about, Dario's bio said Kenny hit a curveball, which to me possibly leads me to believe that Dario had a hand in writing this because it was a sports analogy from the bio.
Yeah, there were a lot of sports analogies and just play on words in those bios. That's the one thing
I remember.
Maybe
Dario wrote all of the analogies because he actually spoke those sports analogies.
Is Dario the MTV intern?
Maybe he parlayed this into an internship.
Ah, good for him.
Do all the grunt work for us for Are You the One and you can be on the show.
There you go. Still offering up $20 for the intern who wants to come on.
Okay. Question for you.
Answer.
I gave you a ding, marry, kill, and I want you to redo it, assuming you don't remember your...
I don't really... I remember Alexandria was in it, and I remember having, like, a special deal with her.
So Dig, Marry, Kill, really Alexandria, creepy. Lauren, Ashley, and Jenny.
Well, this will be easy. Marry Ashley, ding Jenny, kill Alexandria.
So you marry Jenny, killed Ashley.
No, swap
and
that.
Dinged Alex. And
that's what I did?
Yeah, and you said your reasoning was because you're going to kill Ashley because she'll follow you around because she's a virgin, which is very proud of you to say. And you said you would ding Alexandria because you seemed like you could have an arrangement with her, which is fair. You probably could have an arrangement with her. But I think you're wrong about Ashley. You prejudged her. How dare you?
I mean, we prejudged everyone. I judged Curtis because he liked Filet-O-Fish at McDonald's.
You would kill Ashley because she's a virgin. That's what happened. That's the facts, people. Listen, go back and listen. And then when offered Christina to replace one of these as the 11th girl twist, the fourth girl twist, you replaced, or should I, okay, who would you replace now in your Dig, Marry, Kill?
Marry Christina.
So that means then Ashley would be killed. That's the rule I put on. Anyway, yeah, you replaced Alex to ding, and that was probably a good move. Okay. If only Brandon had replaced Alex to ding with Christina, it would be a little different. So then before I listened to the Ding, Marry, Kill you gave me, wrote down what I would do, and then listened to my answers. So you gave me Leighton, Curtis, and Nathan. And as I said then, which I still feel now, my immediate reaction was, this is a terrible one.
Wow, you're going to kill everyone.
I decided to
ding. Murder spree.
Ding Leighton, marry Curtis, and I wrote, ugh, and kill Nathan. And then I decided to marry, like on the show, on the preview, I decided to marry Nathan, ding Leighton, and kill Curtis. But I will say it was a very thin line between all of them. And my best reaction was the reaction I had then, which is, this was horrible.
This is horrible. I'm sorry.
Okay, so revisiting our predictions.
Yes, I'm curious.
We first predicted who would be the other half of the 11th girl. And I said Paris or Jenny. You said Paris or Alex. And then I said it could be Tyler. But now I'm just throwing it could be anyone.
Oh, you should have added that caveat. You just got it.
I know. But like I said it and was like, now I'm just throwing out anyone. which I thought was really funny. And then, okay, so your picks for future matches. You put Curtis and Guis because they were both crazy. And yes. When I asked you why Curtis was crazy, you said because he would order Filet-O-Fish.
Yes, I still stand by that. It's very weird.
You said Moosty and Jasmine.
Which was close. They were in the truth booth together.
And then, where they? I don't even remember that. Yeah, you're right. Okay.
Yeah, I remember Jasmine. I deserve a great guy.
No, your best gets, I'm saving. Okay. We both had, I had one that like actually became a storyline and you had two that became storylines. So my bad guesses were Paris and Dario. Although given more time, I think they would have connected. I said Moosty and Brianna or Moosty and Alex. Fail, fail.
Hey, Moosty did connect with Brie.
I mean, Moosty tried to connect with everyone.
Did you really miss my joke?
Oh, yeah, I did miss
that.
There we
go.
You know what? I did think that. And no, I remember when I saw that episode, I thought that was potentially like a future storyline for them. And I was really excited about my prediction.
From knee to the face to perfect match.
And then you had Nathan and Shelby. Neither of us had any perfect matches, but you had Nathan and Shelby and Anthony and Ellie.
That's not bad.
And I had Jenny and Leighton.
That's not bad, too.
But I will say that you never said Ashley and Dario in our preview podcast, as previously reported. So major correction of the season. We had been following that. We must have talked about it at some point, but not.
Maybe I said it after like the first episode and I thought that maybe they were paired together because like, they picked each other that first matchup. So maybe I said it then.
Well, someone on Twitter went back and like pointed out a time that we talked about it in like way later in the season, but we can only hope that maybe you thought about them as a match, but can't give you the preseason prediction.
Fair enough. I stand by getting the storylines more right than the matches. Sometimes the storylines are more important than the matches.
Next time we'll have to predict storylines because that's not what we were doing.
No, but then we're
gonna get predicting
the
perfect matches.
Yeah, but then we're going to get the matches correct and then I have to add that next season. Nope.
You have to, you know what? You say what you do what you say. We're picking matches. You can't take credit for storylines.
Fair enough.
You did better overall, but or maybe you did worse because you picked more people who liked each other but were in matches.
I was as bad as the house. I would have read a lot. I would have blacked out.
So just a couple interesting tweets from the crew. Tyler Abron tweeted, "I guess tonight's the night, supersize reunion. Maybe you'll get to not just see me, but hear me, LOL." And then she retweeted like the five people on Twitter who tweeted, like, "Where were you?"
No one cares. How awesome would it have been if she wore a GUI shirt?
Adam from last season, soon to be on this season, The Challenge, tweeted, "Now who from this season could go on The Challenge next season? Hashtag are you the one?" Ellie tweeted me. Curtis retweeted this. I haven't since revisited the activity on this, but people are interested. Curtis is maybe the person I would least like to see on The Challenge, just because I can't imagine him bringing anything interesting to the table.
Nate.
For The Challenge.
That's true. I think Nate for me is...
At least he would have drama. He would have something. He'd fall in love with someone. Like, Curtis, I think, would just be on the... Exactly. Yeah, I think Curtis would just be, like, on the side and then would go home, like, second episode. I don't feel like he's athletic or dramatic, which is a compliment to him that I don't think he's dramatic enough.
Yeah, anytime we say it's like something like you cannot be on another MTV show, that's definitely a compliment. Don't take it the wrong way.
Then someone asked Brianna about what she did with the beads, and she tweeted, or if she kept the beads, and she tweeted, "No, I actually threw them on the ground after one of the matchups." Question mark.
So apparently that big romantic scene was not that romantic.
And then there was a little Brianna versus Tyler scuffle that Tyler didn't get involved in, as of, you know, 8 p.m. on Tuesday. Basically, Tyler got on You Now and was just bad mouthing the Goon Squad. And there's a variety of tweets. Brianna was actually listening to it. And she said, "Dude, you said we have no life goals. How is that not talking shit? You're nuts." Then Brianna tweeted, "Dying at all the shit. Tyler is talking on the Goon Squad and specifically me. Tyler is on some crazy pills, bro. Holy crap. I'm so confused." Brianna tweeted, "I think it's funny how Tyler is talking shit on her You Now. The only one still in school. I'm at SDSU. LOL. Dying." So I guess Tyler took to You Now to talk shit about her. Oh, it goes more. A quote, someone, Brittany Greenleaf tweeted, quote, "I think it's a stupid ass name, has no substance and point in life," which is what Tyler said about the Goon Squad. And Brianna said, "Bitch, zero life goals. LOL. Get fucking real." So that was that. And then Tyler and Paris had some sad issues on Twitter. And thanks to Roses Are Red on Twitter for pointing this out to us. So Paris tweeted, like, who's dying to see a picture of me and my boo? And Paris and Pratt responded, like, that's not rubbing salt in the wounds. And then Paris tweeted a picture of her kissing a guy who looks just like Pratt from the little bit of his face that we could see, to the point where Paris had to say, like, haha, that's not Pratt. She wrote, "Some love comes and goes. Some love lasts forever. Here's me and my boo-boo. Hashtag he's the one." And Pratt retweeted that and then wrote, "Me and my new boo," and posted a picture of him and Brittany. And then he had to later claim that he was just joking, that they're actually not together. And then Paris tweeted, "I'm sorry, but it's hashtag too little too late. I've never loved or felt more love than I do now. I'm sorry. Everything happens for a reason. @PrattMTV. And Pratt tweeted, "I'm a month sober. I'm happy. I'm fit. I went on national television and own my issues. If she won't see the new me, then someone will." And I just, this is why I think, like, they'll still be in each other's lives, because if Paris was really, truly just, like, happy and content, and I don't blame her for not being, I'm sure she's happy with her boyfriend, but she's still hurt by Pratt. I don't blame her, but she wouldn't be smattering pictures of her kissing her boyfriend on Twitter. I mean, like, you don't need to prove it if you're that happy and over it.
Yeah, I think the comparison to Jemmy and Knight is a pretty accurate one.
So then here's, wrapping up the Twitter beefs, some exchanges between, it's basically about Curtis and Brianna, but I don't know what the hell Brianna was saying. It was pretty hilarious. Paris tweeted, "You pride yourself in your honesty, Curtis, but you're lying through your teeth." And Curtis wrote, "Thanks for the love, Paris. I know the truth, and that's all that matters to me. Hashtag do what you love." And then Shelby tweeted, "Do you? I thought you said you were blacked out. So how would you?" And Curtis tweeted, "I know the convo I had with Brie at the hotel and the convo I had with you after that matchup." Which I want to know when he's able to see Brie, but whatever. And then Brianna writes, "Herp derp, when the fuck did we get ice cream?"
Herp derp. I got to start using that in real life.
One of the fans tweeted, if these things had not happened, Cortana would have chances to be real. Answer me, please. Curtis wrote, it ended for much greater reasons. Brianna wrote, should we go to couples therapy? Curtis wrote, hard pass, all caps. Brianna wrote, ooh, all caps, looking like a boss. Haha, psych. Curtis wrote, never a squad leader, simply a soldier, won the trenches.
What?
Okay, soldier is spelled S-O-U-L, soldier, and one is O-N-E, like the number one. Hashtag do what you love.
Of course.
Brianna, what are you even saying? Maybe you should write a book with all your sayings and make it a toilet read.
Hey, don't knock toilet reads. I'm sure people will listen to this podcast on the toilet.
Okay. So my final question to you, and you can, you know, this doesn't need to end the whole thing, but what I thought would be a nice question to end on from Nick Fishman, with the success rate of the matchings dropping from to 5% from 10%, which is probably even less than 5% because there are 11 possible perfect matches.
Right.
Is there any reason for future contestants to expect to find true love?
Yeah.
Okay. Bye, everyone.
But I mean, like I'm always saying about like MTV, even like Bachelor, Bachelorette. I mean, how realistic can you really be to find love on a reality show? I mean, those seem like they're very, very rare. So could it happen? I mean, it happened once. That means it can happen again. So I think it's possible. But I think if you're going on this show and saying, this is how I'm going to find my husband, I think you need to lower your expectations.
I really don't think that there's one person on the show who can say they went on it to find love solely.
That's probably fair.
Everyone is motivated by, like, even Brianna, like, talking about it. Like, it was sort of like, all right, yeah, like, I like the show. Like, cool. Like, my friend told me to apply. I was bored. Like, you know what I mean? And then, like, the opportunity presents itself, fine. Like, if anyone's, like, really applying and wants to be on the show, I think it's for possible fame, possible exposure, money, free vacation. Like, I definitely don't think it's just for love. And I think that's fine. I think everyone needs to stop being so mad at people for going on for love.
Yeah. And no
I
one,
mean, going on
yeah,
for money.
Absolutely. If money wasn't a part of this, I'm sure a lot of people wouldn't even have applied in the first place. So, and think of it, like, this was just like done with no cameras and it wasn't even on TV, how many people would have applied? So to say it's just love-based is living in a fantasy world.
True that.
So my last question is just, who do you expect yourself to or even think you will follow post Are You the One? Or you plan on cutting all these people out of your
That's
lives
funny,
the second
I was,
we finish
like,
this?
So excited to unfollow so many of these people.
Like, who do you think in like
I'm going to immediately
February?
Unfollow Leighton.
I'm surprised
I've already
you still
almost done it, except I wanted to see if he's like pretty likely to get into beef. So I followed him for you guys. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, definitely unfollowing him.
But like, and in a couple months, you expect to be following any of these people.
I think what's going to happen is, and this is how my Twitter usually runs, is if I'm on Twitter and I'm annoyed by people's tweets, I'll just selectively start unfollowing them. Mm-hmm. So there's no one besides Leighton that I'm like immediately anxious to like cut unless like I start getting, like, I don't see myself unfollowing Ellie. Like, everything she tweets is hilarious. So like anyone, like the whole Goon Squad, I don't mind following. Like, and then the rest of the people, maybe I could see Curtis and Alex like falling off because I'm just so sick of their self hashtags. But for the most part, like, you know, if I don't have any planned executions except for waiting off my Twitter feed. What about you?
Yeah, I'm probably just the Goon Squad. I mean, I don't follow a lot of them anyway. I just follow a few of them. So yeah, the Goon Squad I'll be keeping tabs on. Obviously, my boy Brandon and just a couple others.
Why
not many other people.
I'm be keeping tabs on anyone.
Well, I'm not going to stalk them, but like, if I see like their tweets pop up, I won't be like, oh, let me get rid of this person. Like, I'll keep and try to follow their lives a little bit.
I want to be clear. I have no interest in following anyone their lives, but I will be cutting Alex probably because she tweets like naked pictures and I'm NSFW.
Oh, you still? I thought you were talking about Alex the guy.
No. I was talking about Alex the guy originally, but now I just thought about Alex the girl too.
Alex the guy and Alex the girl sounds like a CW sitcom.
There you go. Pitch it. One thing I want to say is another thing in the recap or in the preview podcast is you were like, MTV, I'll pay for my own transportation. Get me out there and I'll talk improvements. You were just in California.
I know. I should have tried to hunt them. I still stand by my original improvement of making this more like an individual based show rather than as a team thing. As in, even if you don't get the 10, whoever are the perfect matches, whoever are the beams at that moment, split the $1 million. I still think that would be a cool addition to the show.
And I stand by my head hurting. So let's wrap this up one last time. Yeah. One thing I just wanted to say before I let you do the huge wrap up, don't get mad that I abbreviated huge. Is I just want to say thank you because to everyone who like engaged with us on social media, to the cast who engaged with us on social media and like people who asked questions, like that was totally beyond my expectation. And I've been thinking of this since like week 5, but I never said anything because I thought it was more appropriate and more professional to end with than every week be like, oh my God, I'm so excited. But like you guys have made it so much more fun to do this podcast. And so thank you for being involved. It was awesome.
Yeah, he took the words right out of my mouth. I was going to say, as much fun as it is if it was just us talking, it's a lot more fun when we can incorporate questions from people who also enjoy the show and comment on it. And hearing feedback from the cast is always great. So, yeah, thank you guys so much. It's been a lot of fun to be able to do this week after week to get everyone's thoughts so we can talk about this show that we love to make fun of. So it's been a blast. So thank you to everyone. And like we mentioned last week, if you enjoy anything that we have to say, we'll be back in a few weeks when the challenge gets underway. We'll have a cast preview at some point, and then should be week after week. We'll be discussing Battle of the X's, so keep tabs on that. But until then, you can follow me on Twitter at BusDriversRoute, and you?
You can follow me at LashTweets. Do we want a hashtag for making it through the season with us?
Should we do go back to the first hashtag we ever had? Hashtag no. Okay.
What was it though?
I think the first tag ever was hashtag Guise.
No.
All right, we need a new one. What's a good hashtag for this one?
Let's see. What are you thinking? Anything stick out? Virgin letdown.
That could be the interesting hashtag on Twitter.
What did we talk about? Oh, like put down the Pratt juice. No, don't do that.
We're not here to make fun of alcoholism.
No. I stand with Pratt on this. MTV is soups awkward. Let's see. Never said Ashley and Dario.
We can do that. Hashtag never said Ashley and Dario.
That's too long. I hate this.
This is so, we're really choking on the last one.
How about hashtag wrapped up? RHAPEDUP.
Do you want to throw an AYTO in there?
You throw in whatever you want.
Hashtag. Oh, this is AYTO wrapped up.
Here's what always happens is we say a lot of random stuff, can't really decide, and then the people who do it, thank it. God for them, they figure it out.
Hashtag random stuff.
We did our best.
Hashtag random stuff. We got it at the 11th hour. Hashtag random stuff.
Literally the 11th hour. It is currently 11 p.m.
Yeah, I got to like check out the ginormous real world skeletons. Got to see how that's going. Yeah, so hashtag random stuff, and we'll be back in a few weeks for the challenge Battle of the X's. But until then, once again, guys, thank you so much. This was an absolute blast. So, until then, have a good one.